And good morning once again on 88.1. It's Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. All sorts of stuff in the news this morning. Of course, we've got the presidential primaries and the big nights for Mr. Trump and Secretary Clinton. Also, lots of legal news in the news today. In a couple of hours, about an hour and a half or so, the president will be in the Rose Garden announcing his pick for the nominee to replace Antonin Scalia on the Supreme Court. And the dates for the trials in the officers accused in the death of Freddie Gray have been realigned. They'll be confirmed at an administrative hearing today, but it now appears that Officer Edward Nero will be the next officer to face charges and face a jury in that incident that involved the death of Freddie Gray while in police custody. Mr. Nero will go on trial on the 10th of May. William Porter, whose trial ended in a hung jury last year, he's now scheduled to be tried in September, and Alicia White will be the final officer charged if, in fact, this schedule holds up. She's now scheduled to be tried on the 13th of October. So the Freddie Gray trials spinning out well into 2016. So if you're just joining us this morning, we're talking today about how judges end up serving on the circuit court in Maryland. So some have been appointed by the governor, and they're running on in what's known as a retention election. In the Eighth Circuit, which serves the city of Baltimore, there are about 30 circuit court judges. Six of those sitting judges will appear on the April 26 primary ballot. By the way, those six sitting judges will appear on both Democrat and Republican primary ballots. The sitting judges are Shannon Avery. She was appointed by Governor O'Malley in 2014. Audrey Carrion was appointed in 1999 by then Governor Paris Clendenin. Michael DiPietro was appointed by O'Malley in 2014, as was Chaya Friedman. Wanda Keyes Heard was appointed by Governor Glendenin in 1999, and Cynthia Jones, another appointee by Governor O'Malley back in 2014. So those are the six sitting judges: Avery, Carrion, DiPietro, Friedman, Heard, and Jones, and they're running as a group. They are the sitting judges who are currently on the bench. Two additional names will appear on the ballot, and the gentlemen attached to those names joined me in the studio this morning. They have not received a gubernatorial appointment, but rather they're running to be a judge on their own. James Kraft is retiring this year as the city councilman from Baltimore's First District. He's been there since 2004, and Todd Oppenheim is a public defender in Baltimore City, a position he's held for the past 11 years. Good morning and welcome to you both.
Good morning, Tom.
Thanks. Good morning, Tom.
Thanks.
Thank
for
you
coming in. So, Mr. Kraft, let's start with you. What do you hope to achieve as a judge that you couldn't accomplish if you remained on the city council? The Sun has noted, for example, that you're the only attorney on the Baltimore City Council right now. I mean, in addition to policy, the council obviously crafts laws. It would seem that you have perhaps a leg up from your fellow council members when it comes to that particular skill.
Well, I have been the only attorney on the council the entire time I was there, with the exception of when the mayor was on the council for those years that she was on with us. And I have. I've spent 12 years as the chairman of the Judiciary Committee, and spent a lot of time writing those laws. But I've seen how the laws that we've written and the laws that have been written by the state have been interpreted by the courts. I've spent a lot of time in the neighborhoods, in the communities, things like liquor board decisions, zoning decisions, which end up being appealed to the circuit court, community impact statements, victim impact statements, and how I believe are not being interpreted properly by the courts. And I think that I can bring a different perspective to the bench than what's
So the laws are okay, or they just it's the interpretation of the laws that you find
There's
lacking?
A different perspective that can be brought to that. You know, there is a way of looking at the laws as to what the legislative intent was. And I think that lots of times people on the bench don't understand what the legislative intent was. The other thing is, I don't think sometimes that they are, or let me rephrase it and say, they come from law offices generally into the bench. They're not out in the real world, so they don't understand the impact of what they're doing. They don't understand how the law applies in real life. And I think that is a factor in making decisions.
But pardon me, isn't it incumbent upon the legislators to craft laws that are quite explicit and quite clear, so that the legislative intent is written in the law, so that judges can interpret what the law is.
Well, ideally, that's the case, but in many instances, judges don't do that. And we have 33 judges on.
Well, I'm talking about the judges here. What about the legislators? I mean, if legislative intent is somehow vague or up for grabs in terms of interpretation, isn't that the fault of the people crafting the actual language of the laws themselves?
Well, in some instances, it is. In some instances, that would apply. But I think in many more instances, it's looking at the law and saying, okay, this is how I read it, and then this is how it was written.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Oppenheim, you have adduced in articles and elsewhere that there's really no other way than elections to hold judges accountable. But to whom should a judge be accountable? Should a judge be accountable to people, to citizens, or shouldn't judges be accountable to the law? Shouldn't they be interpreting the laws that are in the charter and in the constitution of the city and the state?
They should be accountable to both. Just to give a brief comment on the prior segment with the professor, I think discussing whether we have or shouldn't have judicial elections is a bit of a distraction, almost a diversionary tactic from the status quo, from Annapolis, from the sitting judges, that kind of takes away from this substantive discussion that we're having about issues now. The key word that the councilman was hinting at is discretion. And discretion can be applied by judges and is applied, but the problem is it's not being equally applied, specifically to the poor and African-American communities of our city. And as a public defender of 11 years, I see the discretion that's not being applied equally across all segments of our communities and society.
Well, then, are you in a way telegraphing to people that if you're elected, you will have a proclivity to be more sympathetic to defendants than prosecutors?
Absolutely not. I think that the playing field is so tilted in the courts right now against poor people and African American people. All I'm saying is simply to be fair to everyone, and it's not happening. I mean, if you look at the bail system, it disproportionately affects poor people in our city. Judges have no concept of what they're doing in setting bails. You know, the idea presumes that someone's going to be released before trial, and they're setting amounts that keep people
right
in jail and force them into police.
And you're not alone in wanting to change the bail system, that's for yeah, sure. But isn't the way to change the bail system through the legislative process? Why is a judge going to insert him or herself into a conversation about the bail system from the bench?
Because it's in the Constitution of the United States of America, in the Eighth Amendment, it says there shall be no excessive bail set. And Annapolis is not moving on this. And I concede that ultimately ending cash bail is a legislative fix. But discretion amongst judges in our city, there is a wide latitude as to what they can set in bails. And it takes a perspective of one like mine, who's been defending people in this city for over a decade, to understand what you're doing, the impact of your decisions on families, on children, on jobs. You know, it destroys communities. This is what the uprising's about, Tom.
Todd Oppenheim is a public defender. He's here in studio along with James Kraft, who is retiring as a city councilman representing the 1st District in Baltimore. They're both running for the 8th Circuit judge position on the 8th Circuit as a judge. Mr. Kraft, allow me to pass on to you a sort of cynical interpretation of your candidacy for this office.
Sure.
Several lawyers have said to me, Jim Kraft is 66 years old. The mandatory retirement age for a judge is age 70. The term is 15 years if you are elected and, you know, et cetera. But you're going to have to retire in 4 years. You're currently on the city council. Your salary as a city councilman is in the mid-60s. If you were to be elected as a city court judge, your salary would be $154,000. And there are folks who have said to me, this is a somewhat cynical move on your part, that you're going to be a judge for
4 years if you win this election, and then your pension is going to be pegged to the higher salary you will receive as a judge. How do you respond to that?
Well, that's simply not true. First of all, my pension would not be pegged to a higher salary. I don't know where they get that information from. You wouldn't invest. And the other thing is, I don't think that I should be discriminated against on the basis of my age. I mean, if you took that logic, then anyone who was over the age of 55 should not apply to run for a judge, or if the governor decided to appoint them, should not accept it because they couldn't serve the 15 years. I mean, you know, it's a totally specious argument.
Mm-hmm. But the pension business, I mean, you've been employed by the city since 2004 as a city councilman, and right. Doesn't the pension work that when you retire from service to the city, your pension is pegged to the top 3 years, your earnings, your highest earnings in the top 3 years?
No. My pension, I belong to the elected officials system, and my pension is 2.5% of my salary once I'm vested for 12 years, and it's the salary of the council member. It's not somebody else's salary.
And that wouldn't change if you were to be elected a judge?
It has nothing to do with judicial retirement whatsoever. That's an entirely different pension system.
All right. Well, I'm glad you cleared that up, because more than one person has mentioned that to me.
Well, they don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah, all right. Mr. Oppenheim, how is a voter supposed to know what a person's judicial temperament is? You know, what in your mind makes a good judge? Obviously, when the governor receives recommendations or people to appoint to the bench, those people have been vetted by the legal community. For better or for worse, they are closer to the daily functionings of the judicial system, but voters are not. I mean, what in your opinion makes a good judge, and how are folks supposed to know?
A good judge has empathy. And that means taking into account both sides. It means coming from a perspective of both a victim, which I've been. I've been robbed at gunpoint on my own street. At the same time, I've stood next to defendants' clients that have gotten life sentences. I've seen both sides of the coin. So I think I'm the ultimate nonpartisan, unbiased arbiter that could decide cases. I don't have any connections. I've never been a politician. I've never served in office. I've never donated to a political campaign. I am an independent voice. The only thing I'm interested in is changing the system for the better, bucking the status quo, and making Baltimore work better. I love this city.
Mm-hmm. And Jim Kraft, are you running against any particular judge? There are 6 of them currently sitting. There are going to be 8 names on the ballot. Are you trying to replace a particular person or any of them?
Not at all. I think that I'm running on my own record. I think people know who I am. I think they know what I stand for. I think I have a record of intelligence, integrity, impartiality. I think I have a record of being fair. I've conducted hundreds of hearings. People have been before me. They know who I am and how I work.
All right. Well, that's all the time we have. I appreciate both of you coming in, and we'll see you on the campaign trail. Thanks so much. Todd Oppenheim is a public defender. Jim Kraft is retiring as the city councilman representing the 1st District in Baltimore. They are running to be elected on the 8th Circuit Court of Baltimore City as a judge. There are 6 sitting judges who currently serve on the court. I'm going to speak to 3 or 4 of them a week from Friday here on Maryland Morning. Coming up a little bit later, the Ferguson effect. Have the deaths of Michael Brown, Freddie Gray, and other young black men around the country led to increased scrutiny of the police, and has that scrutiny led to their taking a knee and a subsequent rise in crime and arrest? There's a new study. We'll talk about it in a little bit after a break for the news, and this break with Tom Pelton and the environment in focus.